In this season, we're absolutely besieged by signs. We've got signs everywhere and symbols everywhere that tell us that Christmas, or Santa Sunday, Christmas is going to be upon us within a few days. And we know what all those signs and symbols are. You know, we know that basically when it comes to decorating, and this is the only decorating tip you'll ever hear from me from this pulpit, that red and green mean Christmas, right? And we know that the tinsel and the trees are up. We can read all those signs. We can understand all those symbols. Often when immigrants come into the country, they're baffled. They don't know what some of these signs and symbols mean. And they're meant to point us to a different reality. We use them all the time. We use them unconsciously. Even reading itself is recognizing signs and symbols. And if you don't know what's going on, boy, that's a problem. I know that more and more when you're reading along with your emails or texts, people will put in emojis, right? I think there were only 20 to start. There are hundreds of them now, and I don't even know what some of them mean, right? We're called to recognize signs. And so it's not surprising in the first reading that Larry read from the book of the prophet Isaiah that it talks about signs. So here's King Ahaz. The kingdom of Israel had split into two, Israel and Judah. And Israel, the kingdom of Israel, and the kingdom of Damascus, right now where there's so much fighting going on, in the kingdom of Damascus, were going to attack Ahaz. And then on the other side, there were the Assyrians. So what's Ahaz going to do? Is he going to try to make peace at great price with the kingdom of Israel and the king of Damascus? Or does he turn to the great big military empire and make a deal with them? And Isaiah says, don't make a deal with the Assyrians. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in God. And Ahaz, basically, the skeptic, shrugs his shoulders and says, well, what do you know? And that's when Isaiah says, ask a sign of the Lord your God as deep as Sheol or hell or as high as heaven. But Ahaz is a skeptic. He says, I'm not going to ask, what's God got to do with it anyway? That's really what Ahaz says. What's God got to do with it? Signs. So Isaiah says to him, well, if you won't listen, I'm going to speak to the whole people. Listen then, O house of David. That's everybody. That's all the Jews. Listen then. Regardless of what's going to happen soon, this will be the sign. This will be the sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. The young woman or the virgin. They use the term young woman in Hebrew. In Greek, they use parthenos. That's what that word is right there, written on the wall. Going down, parthenos, the virgin. And that's the sign. You may not have recognized that sign because it's in Greek, but it's a sign that's there. And it's a sign that needs to be interpreted in the same way that this sign of Emmanuel needed to be interpreted. And when hundreds of years later, almost 700 years, that sign is brought in, it still needs to be interpreted. Even for Joseph, Joseph the just man. You know, it says in this reading that Joseph was the righteous man. But in another reading from Greek, it calls him the just man. That is, someone who was zealous for the law. Zealous to be able to know the power and the presence of God. But he was too humble to figure out that God's plan had much to do with him. And that's like all of us, right? We don't think that God's plan has much to do with us. Most of us say, oh, well, you know, is God really going to be involved in my life? Am I involved in the big economy of salvation? You are. Each and every one of us is involved in that economy of salvation. And so here was Joseph, a guy from nowhere. Nazareth is nowhere. A carpenter, you know, just somebody, some tradesman. That's why we have that statue there, and he's holding the tools of his trade, you know, the square, etc. He's just seemingly a nobody, but he's not a nobody. He's not. Because it's how he's addressed that's important. It says, Joseph, son of David. Son of David, of the royal house of David. It looked like the monarchy and the royal house of David had been completely wiped off, but it hadn't been completely wiped off. One line had been, but Joseph was of the same royal house of David. Generations and generations down, that's true. He wasn't somebody that was going to be comfortable around palaces unless he was going to help to build them. But still, he was of the royal house. And so that prophecy of Isaiah is going to be fulfilled as Joseph becomes the foster father of Jesus Christ. That's what that picture is about, right over my head, right over the door there. There is Joseph standing, accepting the child Jesus. That's at the purification. And in Jewish and Roman law, as soon as a father picked up the child, his newborn child, he claimed it as his. He claimed it. It was his. And so he claimed that child for his line of the house of David in order to bring about that prophecy. What a strange picture that is, you know. There is Mary and the prophetess Anna. But Joseph, this lowly carpenter, is dressed in a purple cloak. The purple cloak, the imperial sign of the royal house. Because only the royal house could wear purple. That's why we wear purple. Okay? We wear purple in Advent because where's the royal house of Rome or Israel now? It's gone. Remember that we'll be gone sometime. But for him, it meant something different. It meant that Jesus was going to be the fulfillment of that prophecy, that God is truly going to be with us. And God's with me, and God's with you. That's not something that we remember all the time. Ahaz was a person who was a skeptic, and a person of that skepticism. But Paul talks about those who are truly to be people of faith. Through Jesus Christ, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. And it includes yourselves, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We are people who are called to advance by faith. Sometimes that faith can seem flickering. It can seem not strong at all. Look at those candles that we had the children lit. There's not much to them. And a little kid can blow them out. But they still shine forth as a sign of our faith. And we recognize that it is that faith in Jesus Christ himself, not in some odd or some distant way, but in a way that is actually with us, that he is present to us, that's going to be the fulfillment of the promises. I don't know what's happening in your life. It may be great, and everything's just running along tickety-poo. Or it may be difficult, and you may be facing all kinds of problems, difficulties, not just in your life, but in the lives of the people around you, perhaps. But however it is, we are called to remember that God is with us. Yes, in a few short years, those people of Israel faced devastation after devastation, as I talked about 2 weeks ago. But in the midst of it all, they were called to remember that God was going to be with us. And God is with us even now. This is why we come to Mass. We come to Mass not because it's just something we do. That's great. If you make it a custom in your own life, that's great, because habit is an important and powerful thing in everybody's life. We come to Mass because we believe in the most profound of ways that Jesus Christ is present to us, that he is here and that he is here for me. For you, that we can receive him in the most holy sacrament of the altar. That's what we need. And it isn't just for me. It isn't just for you. It is through Jesus Christ that we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name. For everybody. They may not know it yet. They may not. That's what we're called to do too. We're called to take this great news and to proclaim that great news out to the world. And whether you proclaim it like the shepherds did, you know, one to one, or whether you proclaim it like the angels did in whatever kind of social platform, media platform that you've got, that depends on where you are and who you are. But we're still called to proclaim it to all the people so that all of us can be able to know that grace, which is the life of God, and that peace, which is from God the Father himself. This is the promise for all the ages, for my age, for your age. It is the promise for all of our lives. It's the promise for all people's lives. And it is part of what we are called to do, to proclaim to the rest of the world.